He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Praise God. It's a blessing. I was thinking here, just sitting up here, getting ready to preach, and or just kind of sitting in service thinking. And I was looking out, and I was, y'all know how I am about all these children, loving having these kids here and young people. And all these youngins here. It's good to have all of our babies back in the church. Amen. Today. It's been good. Been refreshing. And I was thinking, I started counting. And out of 20 people we got here tonight, almost half is 19 years and under. Almost half. How old are you, Kaylee? 17? 18? 17? So almost half is 17 and under. So 8 out of 20 is 17 years old and under. Almost, that's a blessing. That is, that's great. Almost half. And let's see, over half is 30 and under. So we got a young church. It's a young crowd here. All y'all are young folks. Praise the Lord. Well, Ernest, you young, brother. You in with a young crowd. Praise God. Amen. Hey, that's good. Yeah, keeps you lively. That's good. Amen. You know, well, I mean, you know, really though, you think about it. Think about all the false religion out there that's geared to reach young people. That's what they say. We got to do all this stuff to reach the young people. I think the old time way still works. Amen. The old time way will get them. It'll reach the young people. If it gets in their heart, hey, it'll reach them. Amen. Praise God. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm amazed at the way God orchestrates services. Of course, He orchestrates our lives. We know that. But the way He seems to orchestrate the preaching, what He puts in my heart to preach, and then kind of ties it all together, it's just amazing. Because this morning, and this happens a lot of times. I don't mean to do this. It's just the way it works out, the way God does it. This morning we preached a message dealing with the sin of adultery. And tonight, of course, you know, I've just been going really verse by verse through Galatians. And tonight we're going to look at what love looks like. What's love act like? The conduct of what true love is. And that just seems to kind of go hand in hand. You know, we looked at the negative side of it, so to speak, this morning. The negative side of adultery and that sin. But then tonight we come back, and I didn't mean for it to work out this way. It's just the way it happened, you know. And just following along, preaching through what the Lord's put in my heart to preach. And so this morning we kind of see the negative side of the sin of adultery and all this. But then we see kind of what true love really acts like, how true love acts, and the conduct of true love. And that's a blessing. I thank the Lord for the way He works that out. Even just today, I heard a man talk about how he said he was talking about how he's not in favor of this, the way these new millennial preachers are preaching just straight through the Bible. And I thought, what are you talking about, man? What do you mean millennial preachers preaching through the Bible? I think if anything, it's something that maybe younger preachers, the younger generation preachers, are getting back to preaching just through the Bible, just letting the Bible be the Bible and just preaching it, you know? I mean, you can't do any better than just preaching the Word of God. And somewhere along the way, we got off on this idea that you've got to dig out these new thoughts and come up with these new, you know, little nuggets and these new deep thoughts. It's just going to blow people's minds, and people are going to, you know, see something they never saw before. But, you know, Ecclesiastes said there's nothing new under the sun. There is not a thing in the world that I could preach. And I'm not against having, you know, good thoughts and all. I'm not against that stuff. But, buddy, whenever that becomes our preaching, that becomes what it's all about, we've turned it into entertainment. Then we have, you know, trying to hear from God, you know. And so I like just preaching the Bible. And that's what's going to help us. Amen. And the Bible, just preaching through the Bible, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. What we do is we let the Word of God be the Word of God. We just let it say what it says and preach what it says. And we don't pick and choose our hobby horses and stick with what's familiar, and we don't just push amen buttons. We just preach the Bible. Amen. And And I know, I want to say this too, and I didn't know I was going to say this, but I'm here, so I'm going to say it. I know that sometimes preaching this way can get maybe a little boring sometimes, if we'll just be honest about it. Every service is not like a high mountaintop service. Now, generally speaking, we get out of church what we put into church, generally speaking. But the truth is, sometimes, you know, it can just be a topic or be something that, you know, doesn't really seem to speak to me maybe particularly directly. Now, God can always speak through His Word. He always manifests Himself through His Word. And so even if it doesn't apply to you today, you better listen close because it'll apply to you one day. And even if it doesn't apply to you today, God will speak to your heart about something that does apply to you, even if it's totally unrelated to what the preacher's preaching. I've had that happen. But I heard a preacher preach one time a message on the blessing of boring church. And what he talked about was coming to church, preaching the Word of God, singing the old hymns, just, you know, just doing church the way we know to do church. And it's not always a mountaintop experience, but that's not what we're in it for. We're not in it. See, when we start looking for the mountaintop all the time, and we're always pumping it up, it turns into entertainment. And there's a blessing to just simply getting thus saith the Lord. Amen. If we'll take it and we'll apply it. Amen. And so just because it didn't make you want to jump up and run the aisles, scream and holler and shout, doesn't mean it's not good for us. It is feeding our soul. Amen. And we get what we put into it. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Now look at what's love act like. What's love act like? Love acts a certain way. And we're going to look at that tonight. Let's all stand if you found your place at Galatians 5. We're going to look in verse number 13. Galatians 5, verse 13. Says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." Amen. Praise God for that. He says, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." What's love act like? Love acts like serving one another. He said, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for letting us be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing it is, Lord, to be with your people in these days and to sing the old time hymns, have old time worship. Thank you, Lord, we can come together and pray. And Lord, I thank you for this time of preaching. And Lord, thank you that we have a Bible to preach. Lord, we have a Savior to preach, a gospel to preach. And Lord, we just thank you that you've allowed us all, Lord, to be here and be a part of what you're doing tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us, bless the step of faith that we've taken. Lord, I know that coming to hear from God may not necessarily be the motive of everybody here and why everybody's here. Lord, someone might be here just out of obligation or just feel like they need to be. And so, Lord, they may have not necessarily come to hear from God with their heart right. But, Lord, I pray that you'd show grace and mercy. Lord, you'd step in, Lord. I pray that you'd bless us, Lord, for being here. And, Lord, your word would, Lord, pierce to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts tonight. God, you'd put us under conviction. You would encourage us and uplift us. Just do that work in our heart that only you can do. Lord, I know and I realize that I cannot do it. Lord, there's nothing that we can do in the hearts of men, Lord, ourselves. Lord, we need you tonight. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do something, Lord, that we can't explain, Lord, outside of just saying it's God. And Lord, I pray that you would be with that lost soul that might be here tonight. Lord, certainly in a crowd this size, there's a good chance somebody here is lost. And I pray that you'd show them their lost condition. Lord, show them the hell they're going to and the judgment they're under, the condemnation they're under, that they might cry out to a Savior and be saved tonight. Lord, may tonight be the first night of the new life of some child of God. May we see somebody get born again. But Lord, I pray that your perfect will would be done in our lives. Bless us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now love, he says, by love serve one another. Don't just serve one another. Serve one another by love. Amen. In other words, love is what is going to cause us to serve one another the right way. talking about saved people, by the way. He's writing to a church. He's talking to us. See, you lost, you're not going to understand a lot of this. You know, you can try to live it, but it's just not going to work. But he's talking to God's people, and he says, by love, serve one another. Now, love is the guide to Christian conduct. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Love is the guide to Christian conduct. Love guides us in how we live and how we act. On Sunday mornings, we've been preaching on the law of God. All the thou shalt nots, right? All that negative preaching. Amen. And but, you know, that's just the Bible, right? And so we've been preaching the law of God. Well, I tell you, without love, that law is impossible to keep. Without love, if all you have is the law, that's a miserable, miserable way to live. See, if our love is right, it'll cause us to want to keep that law. It'll cause us to want to do what God's told us to do and to not do. It'll cause us to want to be like Jesus. There is nobody more miserable on planet Earth than somebody that is trying to work up the Christian life. That's a miserable person. Somebody who is lost without God, never been born again, never been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, trying just out of some means of obligation or whatever it is, for whatever reason, they're just trying to work up the Christian life. Maybe they were raised in church, and so they know they ought to be there, and they know that there are things they should do and shouldn't do, and they know that there are people that will be disappointed with them if they don't do certain things and don't live a certain way, and so they try to just work it up and go through the motions. That's a miserable way to live, and that's why so many people are miserable in the work of God. That's why so many people are miserable with church and miserable with the things of God and bored with the things of God, because it's not pouring from a heart of love. They're not working out of the love of Christ. They're working out of some sense of obligation, putting in the time, punching the clock to do their little work for God so they can get that over with and get back to regular life. You know, what they really want to be doing. Because in the life of a child of God, love is what guides us. Love is what fuels us. The love of Christ that's been shed abroad in our hearts. Amen? And nothing promotes love like the gospel. Amen? Isn't it amazing how backwards our society is? The ones that shout love and acceptance the most is the most hateful and unaccepting group. And the ones that promote the gospel, promotes love, and promotes Christ, and promotes what will make men whole and set men free from the bondage of sin and bring men back into right fellowship with God and right fellowship with one another. Those of us that preach that message, we're considered the hate groups. Isn't that amazing how twisted, how the devil's turned that thing on its head? Because the truth is, the world can say what they want to, and they can talk about how unloving and uncompassionate and all these things that they say that we are. Nothing promotes love like the gospel. Amen? Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hurt you and all those things, and pray for them that despitefully use you and all those things. Jesus and the gospel message promotes love. Amen? True love. True love. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're going to look at out of these verses, and this is just scratching the surface. This isn't everything that the Bible has to say about it, but these are a few things. I'm going to give you 3 points in a poem tonight. Scratch the poem, but I'm going to give you 3 points on how love acts. What's true love really act like? Because you're going to see the way true love, it's going to conduct itself in a certain way in somebody who's heart and love is right. Okay? So let's look at a few of these things. First of all, in verse 13, we see the freedom with love. The freedom that love. True love is a free love. It's not a bound love. It's not a bondage love. Now, if you want to see what the world says is true freedom, look no further than Skid Row. where people are bound to their addictions and bound to their sin. Look no further than the homes that are on the rocks, and look no further than the kids that'll go to sleep hungry tonight because mom and dad strung out on drugs and their home and their families are wrecked. Look no further than all the mess that the devil has caused out there in the world's life. Look no further than your life before you got saved and God set you free of all those things. Amen? And so, if you want to see what the world says is real freedom, you look at that, because that's what the devil's telling them folks. They're saying, oh, you're free. And the more sin you get into, and the more sin you commit, and the more you get out of it, the more free you are, when nothing could be further from the truth, buddy. Amen? True freedom comes with the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. Amen? Liberty and love are not a separate thing. That's what the devil tells you the opposite. The devil tells you that you can only have one or the other. You can either have your liberty or you can have the love of Christ. Wasn't that how it was where you got saved? He tells you all the things you got to give up and all the rules and regulations and all the things you got to abide by, and you're not going to be able to do this, you're not going to be able to do that, and your life's going to be so miserable, you know, if you get saved, you know. Like, you can either have your liberty or you can have the love of Christ, but you can't have both. But I want you to know tonight that liberty and love are not separate things. Where true liberty is, true love will be. And where true love is, true liberty will be. Amen? I didn't know what liberty was until I found the love of Christ. Amen? And I didn't know what true love was until I experienced the liberty that in Christ. Amen? Hey, I am set free tonight. Amen? It feels good to be loved. It feels good to have His love. And it feels good to be free and have liberty tonight. Amen? Amen? First of all, look at the call to freedom in verse 13. He said, ye have been called unto liberty. That call to liberty is the call to salvation. That's what he's talking about. You've been called unto liberty. That's what the call to salvation is. It's a call to be free. It's a call to have liberty. Amen? Not be all bound up. Now, the devil will tell you the opposite. Get y'all messed up like you're free out there and bound up in here. But the opposite is true. Listen, buddy, tonight I'm where I want to be, doing what I want to do, enjoying the things that I enjoy, amen, because I've been set free from the lusts and the affections of the world. Hey, I'm free, I've got liberty to serve Christ and enjoy the things of God tonight, amen. You know how that comes? That comes through the call to freedom, the call to liberty, the call to salvation, amen. The gospel message calls men to Christ, who then frees men from the bondage of sin. Amen? Romans 8:21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen? There is no glorious liberty quite like the glorious liberty of being a child of God. Amen? Hey, aren't you glad for the day when the Lord set you free and gave you glorious freedom? So then you didn't have to work it up every Sunday when you went to church and got under conviction. You'd have to turn over a new leaf every Monday morning just to go back to your old ways. You didn't have to strive to do right and strive to live for God only to fail over and over and over again. But finally, when Jesus came, He set you free and tore those chains of bondage away so that you can enjoy living for God now. Amen? Aren't you thankful for the call to liberty? Aren't you thankful that you can enjoy the good things of God? Amen? Amen. I remember when I was lost, I'd go into church and look around and think, what in the world am I missing? Folks get to singing those old hymns, and they'd get to crying, amen, and they'd get to testifying, and they'd get to raising hands, stuff you don't see much anymore, I promise you that. Amen. They'd get to testify and get to crying, and they'd get all stirred up, and they'd talk about how good the Lord's been to them. And boy, people seemed so fervent and seemed so sincere, and they'd hug one another and love on one another, and they just really seemed like they enjoyed the things of God. They enjoyed being in church, and they enjoyed going to meetings, and enjoyed preaching, and enjoyed all those things. And I look around and I think, buddy, I'm missing something. They have got something that I don't have. Truth be told, at the time, I thought they were really, really weird. I thought I was the one that was right, and they were the ones that were all messed up. Amen? And I was right all along. And one night the Lord messed me up. And I've been messed up ever since. And I can't go back to the old ways now. Amen. I'm with the messed up crowd. Amen. I'm with the unfit crowd. Amen. Hey, this world is not my home anymore. I'm not fixed for this place anymore. I'm fixed for heaven. I am messed up, buddy. And I can't get unmessed up now. But the Lord has given me liberty and freedom. And you can have it too. Praise God. Amen. The call to freedom. But then the character of freedom. He says, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. True liberty. True love gives liberty. And true liberty has a certain character. It lives a certain way. And it's not the way the modernists and reprobates are saying it is today. Amen. It's got a certain character, and we see it in the Bible. You ever heard the statement people say, with great privilege comes great, what? Responsibility. That's right. We are greatly privileged with all that we've been blessed with in Christ. Having the liberty we have is great privilege. Amen. Paul said, all things are lawful for me. That's what he said. All things are. That's a great privilege. Amen. We are not under the law anymore. Amen. We're free from the law. That's what Galatians is all about. Being free from the bondage of the law. All things are lawful for me. And that's a great response. That's a great privilege. But with great privilege comes great responsibility. Amen. People talk about how, oh, well, we're in the day of grace. We're under grace now. And so we're not under the law. And so like it's a license to sin. We can do what we want to. And I've got liberty to do this. I've got liberty to go out and live like hell and then tell people I'm going to heaven. I've got liberty to go out and have a drink with my friends every now and then. I've got liberty to dress the way I want to dress. And I've got liberty to do this and do that. I've got liberty to miss church. I've got liberty to, worship God on the fish, on the, you know, the creek bank rather than in the church, you know. I've got liberty for all those things. What people are missing is the great responsibility that comes with that liberty. Amen. And by the way, they didn't get that from reading the Bible anyways. They got it from hearing somebody else. Somebody taught them that. Amen. Some pervert the blessings and promote sin rather than sanctification. People talk about being under grace. Well, how in the world could we ever let some Jew under the law in the Old Testament serve God more fervently than what we would under the grace in this day of grace, in the church age? How could we ever do that? Amen? When we've been set free and the Lord's blessed us so much, how could we ever let some Jew under the law do more for God than what we would do for God under grace? Amen? See, the us Gentiles here, I don't know if there are any Jews here, blessings aren't supposed to be for us anyways. We've been grafted in, friend. It wasn't for us. He came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We outside the promises, outside the blessings, outside the covenant. What none of it's supposed to be for us. But God in His grace and His mercy grafted us in, praise God. He gave us the adoption of sons, praise God. And I would to God that some Jew in the Old Testament would never do more for God than what I would do with His marvelous grace in my life. Amen. Amen. Freedom from the law isn't to be perverted into an excuse to sin. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Look in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized in His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him, for in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know what he's saying in that chapter? He's saying whenever we were lost and in sin, we were slaves to sin. But when we died spiritually, we gave up our life and lost our life, we found it in Christ. Amen. And now we live through Christ and we are not the servants to sin anymore. Amen. Amen. And that is the character of freedom. It's not the freedom to go out and do whatever we want to do. It's the freedom to finally be able to serve God and enjoy it the way we always wanted to. That's it. Amen. Listen, the freedom to go out and sin like we used to, I don't even want to do that stuff anymore. No true child of God wants that lifestyle anymore. Amen. The character of freedom, the control of freedom. He said again in verse 13, the very last phrase, by love serve one another. Freedom through love gives opportunity to serve others. Freedom through love gives us the opportunity to serve others, to put our thoughts and our affections and our concern on others rather than ourselves. And it takes true freedom through the love of Christ to do that. Amen? You know, if you're so wrapped up in yourself and concerned about yourself all the time, you know what your problem is? Your love's not right. You love the wrong things. Love empties selfishness and helps us focus on others. Talk about the way love acts. What's love act like? We see the freedom with love, but then we see fulfillment in love, verse 14. He said, nevertheless, let me get back in Galatians. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, the gospel does not discard the law. Romans 3:31 says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The law is established and fulfilled in the gospel. Amen? to the gospel provides the love that fulfills the law. Amen? You're there in Romans 6. Turn over just a couple pages to Romans 13. Look what he says in Romans 13. Verse number 8. He says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." We've been preaching on that law. You know what the only thing that'll cause you to do your neighbor right? The first four commandments are our relationship between us and God. The last six is our relationship between us and every other man. You know what's going to make our relationship with every other man right and cause us to fulfill the law with every other man? Is be right with God. Have our love and our affections right. Whenever you love God, you'll love your fellow man right. Amen? Amen. Talking about what love acts like. This is the way true love acts. First of all, the improvement for fulfillment. Talking about the fulfillment in love. See, the gospel does better than the law. The gospel's superior to the law. Don't you agree with that? Aren't you glad you got the gospel instead of the law tonight? The gospel superior to the law. It does better than the law. The gospel did what the law could never do. Amen? The law never changed one man's heart. Never. Never has, never will. Every man that's ever kept the law has done it just because he had to. But you know what the gospel does? The gospel changes man's heart, causes him to want to please God because he wants to. Because he desires to. Because it pleases him to serve God and please God. The law never did that. Amen. No one could fulfill the law except Jesus until the gospel came. You realize that? Jesus is the only man that's ever fulfilled the law. But now, since the gospel has come, through the gospel, men, you and me, those of us that have been saved, establish the law. That's what he said in Romans 3:31. We establish it through Christ. The gospel makes men righteous in the eyes of God according to the law. God looks at the law, and then He looks at us through Jesus, and He says, well, He's kept every jot, every tittle. He's done everything I told Him to ever do. That's it when He looks at us through Christ. Can you believe that? You think about how wicked you are, but if you'll receive Christ, if you'll turn your eyes upon Jesus and you'll receive Him as your Savior, God in heaven will look at the law, look at all the do's and don'ts and everything He said to do and not do. And you think about you and how wicked you've been in your life, but having received Christ, God will look at you through Jesus and say, well, He's done everything I ever told Him to do. He's not broke the law one time. Praise God. That is imputed righteousness. That is what we've preached on many times lately, justification. It is justified, never sinned. God says He's done everything I ever told Him to do. Praise God. Boy, well, that's good, ain't it? We ought to be running tonight. Praise God. The improvement. I'd say we've certainly been improved in the fulfillment of love, wouldn't you say? It's improved me. But then, the illustrating of this fulfillment. He says in verse 14, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." This is how we illustrate the fulfillment of love in our life. We illustrate it in loving our neighbor as ourself. If you love your neighbor, you won't do evil to your neighbor. Right? Thus, the fulfilling fulfilling the requirements of the law. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Number three, very quick, failure without love. The failure without love. I believe with all my heart, we're talking about what love looks like. And what love is supposed to look like is us loving one another as we love ourselves. Loving each other, loving the world, serving others, serving the world. But I believe in most Christian lives that love is failing. I believe we are failing. If we would just be honest, we don't love our neighbor as ourselves most of the time. We are concerned about number one most of the time. And that's what they were seeing in this Galatian church too. We were seeing a failure. And the failure comes because they didn't have the right love. Now they had love, but not the right love. That's our problem. We have love, just not the right love. Our love is set on us when our affections should be set on things above, not on things of the earth. And see, where love lacks, there's always going to be problems. The problems that you and I have in our Christian life, our Christian walk. If you're saved here tonight and your Christian life is not what it should be, you know what the problem is? It's a love problem. Your love is not what it ought to be, and it's not where it ought to be. Now, it might be that you're just lost. You're lost without God. So you can't live the Christian life without the love of Christ. But even for those of us that are saved, we kind of struggle with this thing sometimes. This church was. And it is a love problem. And we see some problems in these Galatians. The text here, the verse, seems to suggest that these problems were occurring where these legalists and false teachers had come in preaching and teaching this error of mixing law and grace. And that's where they started getting messed up, and that's where we get messed up a lot of times. We get our love off of Christ and our affections off of Christ. We lose our first love. And instead, we find our love and find our fulfillment in the wrong things. And though wrong things, a lot of times, is things that we do. We begin to find our love. We begin to love, you know, checking the boxes of doing all the right things and not doing the wrong things. You know what happens whenever you start doing that? Serving God becomes a burden. It's not a blessing anymore, it's a burden. And it seems that that's what was going on here. Because where there's wrong doctrine, there will always be wrong love. Amen? Now, we've been preserved in Christ. You used to hear Brother Sammy Allen, who just recently passed away, talked about old preserves, you know, getting those preserves. And the longer you have preserves, the sweeter and sweeter and sweeter they get. That's it. And they'll eventually turn to sugar, eventually. They'll never go bad. They'll eventually just turn to straight sugar. Because they get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter because they've been preserved. Amen? And God's people have been preserved. And those that have been preserved get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter until they finally just turn to straight sugar and the Lord takes them home. But you look at some that they're not getting sweeter and sweeter. They're getting more and more sour with every day that goes by. Because they've not been preserved, they've been pickled. Amen? With every day that goes by, we ought to be getting sweeter. We ought to be getting sweeter. But some have been in the way for a while, and it seems like they get more hateful, and they get more ugly, and get more critical, when they ought to be getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. You know what the problem is? They got a love problem. They got a love problem. Now, in this failure here, in this verse, very quickly, we see sin in the failure. He said in verse 15, he said, "But if ye bite and devour one another." One man said they'd turn into Christian cannibals, cannibalizing, biting and devouring one another. And boy, that happens so many times. The very people we ought to be loving, the ones that we ought to be drawing nigh to, tend to be the ones that wind up being cannibalize one another. One man said, talked about having folks having fried pastor and fried deacon or fried Sunday school teacher or fried church member for dinner every Sunday afternoon in the form of unkind words, critical things said. I mentioned Brother Allen a minute ago, and I was just talking to somebody the other day. It may have been Brother Ernest. I can't remember. He was talking to somebody. Of course, he had passed away, and so a lot of conversations kind of revolved around that a lot lately. But I remember somebody talking about, somebody was telling me, Brother Allen, we were talking about how he made it a point to never say anything negative about anybody. And I've heard Brother Gravely say this. Brother Gravely's told me this, and it has stuck with me. And we all know Brother Gravely here. He said he teaches and tells his young people in his church and teaches his young people, no, don't be against people. Be against ideas. Be against false doctrine and be against things like that. But don't be against people. That's what we do a lot of times. We have somebody who's maybe a little messed up in some areas, so we're against that person. Don't be against the person. Be against the false things, the false doctrine, but don't be against people. And I remember somebody telling me about Brother Allen, how he always made a point. He never said anything negative about anybody. And whoever it was I was talking to said that they talked to his wife, Miss Jimmy Lou. And they asked her one time, said, is there anybody out there, any preachers out there, anything that Brother Allen just really doesn't like and just would not have them in to preach and would not use them? She said, if there's anybody that he doesn't like, I don't know. Because he never said anything about it. Can you imagine that? Yep. He made it a point never say. Now you think about a man like that that God has used so much. Think about that hand in hand with the way preachers can be some of the worst gossips there are. And yet a man like that always made it a point to never say anything negative about anybody. His own wife said if he didn't like somebody, I didn't know it. That's pretty impressive to me. You know what it seems to tell me? That he never wanted to bite or devour anyone. And the way we can do that is when our love is right. We should not bite and devour others. That is a sin, and is a sin that comes from the failure of having our love wrong. So there is sin in this failure. But then, very quickly, last of all, the sequence in the failure. He said in verse 15, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So there's a sequence in this thing. It follows a pattern. The pattern is you reap what you sow. And if you bite and devour others, you'll get the same thing in your life, generally speaking. He said, take heed. Take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You're biting and devouring one another. Be careful that you don't get consumed with it. Because what you put out, you're going to receive that back. Generally speaking, unjust criticism reciprocates unjust criticism. Now, we stand for God and live for God. We're going to receive unjust criticism from the world anyways. But it should never come from God's people. It will sometimes, but it shouldn't. But I tell you how you get more and more of it. You do more and more of it. You put more and more of it out there. You sow more seeds and you'll get more and more of it back. You ever noticed, and I've noticed this, seems like the ones that talk about and criticize other people the most tend to be the ones that are the most concerned about what everybody else is thinking and saying about them. Y'all ever notice that? They're always worried about, I think so-and-so don't like me. I wonder what they're saying about me. They're always consumed with what they think everybody is thinking and saying about them. And it's always the ones that talk and criticize the most about everybody else. Isn't that right? I found out. Well, you know what that is? That's just the sequence that this failure follows. It is a love problem. Amen? that the law is fulfilled in loving one another as ourselves. If you want to know, you say a lot of people, they want to know, you know, what's my job? What should my life be about? What people trying to find where they fit. You want to know, you mean to tell you what your job is? Your job. If you're here tonight, you're saved by the grace of God, I'll tell you right now what your job is. Serve. That is your job. Serve. And if you will set your affections on things above and make yourself, make your heart, make your life available to God to serve, say, God, I'm here and I'll serve however you want me to serve. God will give you something and somewhere to serve. He will 100% of the time. Your job is to serve God. Your job is to serve others. Your job is to serve the work of God. Your job is to serve the lost world. You and me, our jobs as God's people is to serve. And so take whatever it is you're good at, whatever it is you know how to do, take that and ask yourself, how can I serve the Lord and be a blessing with this thing? I was thinking about Brother Ryan back there. He's back there working in the sound booth, and he does computer stuff. He loads messages on the website and stuff like that. We work together with a lot of that stuff, and he's doing that. He's serving God because that's something he knows how to do. He just knows how to do it, so he just does it. He just does it. Brother Ernest, before we ever have any meeting, and just sometimes periodically, he's up here on the tractor, dragging the lot, making the lot look nice, you know, and smoothing out the lot because he just knows how to do that. He can just do that. He knows how to drive a tractor and he knows how to drag the lot. And so he's just taking what he knows how to do and what he can do, and he's serving the Lord. That's just what he's doing. My wife, those plants that are now all dead out there, has planted flowers and things like that and tried to make things look nice and beautify the building, things like that, because she knows how to do the planting thing and do the flower, and she's just doing what she just knows how to do. I'm saying whatever it is, no matter how big or how small, you get your love right, love the Lord, set your affections on Him and say, Lord, here I am, and take whatever, even if it's the simplest thing, even if it's sweeping a floor, regardless of how big and how small, God will give you a place to serve, a place to work, something to do. And that is our job. And that is what love acts like. That's what love acts like. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for helping us with the message. Take it and use it. Bless now on the altar call, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.